Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, it's a short show today. Rangers pregame is coming up at 5 o'clock. They are red hot and rolling coming out of their opening series against the Boston Red Sox. It's a sports paradise right now with so much going on. Let's talk about it. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. Got some Stella Artois NAs in there in the fridge.
Oh,
there.
I'm thinking you do.
About cracking a couple this afternoon.
You know you do.
Thanks to Broadus bringing them back from, what was that, the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl.
Was that New Orleans? Yeah. We got those. Yeah. Ross Lubinsky is in the Pimp Cup filling in for Lucius today. Eric Chiafalo is in. Nice job by Wolchuk filling in for Hagee today on KNC. You have Carter Freeman back there coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. You guys have a good weekend?
Yeah. Right. Very on. Good weekend.
Great
yeah.
weekend. Yep. Absolutely. Good to be back. Good to see you guys.
Very relaxing. Yes, indeed.
Love baseball.
Had a great time. Yes, baseball was amazing.
It was awesome.
Watching these games is something. And let's do Rangers here. And we knew Mike Bassick was going to be a wild card joining the telecast there with Dave Raymond. We had no freaking idea. Did you hear how excited he was for Jackson's strikeout of a former Astro, Alex Bregman, to get the save?
Here's Alex Cheatman, f***ing cheating-ass roach.
Watch your language, Mike.
No, I f***ing hate the Houston Trash Tros and every cheater to ever exist. Alex Bregman can eat my unwashed toenail clippings.
You know what? Hell yeah. Puke Jackson with the pitch. He went. He went. Rangers win. Bregman smells like my f***ing ass.
Bregman is such a good boy. He knows who's daddy. He knows Adolis owns the Astros, and he knows he is only good when he bangs on trash cans. He can go stub his toe in their dugout now and cry to his mommy.
There he is. Unbelievable. Well, man.
On fire.
I think that's the Pat McAfee effect. We talk
that's
about how
quality broadcasting right there.
Suddenly cussing is less frowned upon than ever.
Paints the picture, doesn't it?
Didn't know Mike was going to go there in the opening series, but you get Bassick, you can't harness him too hard. Shout out, let him run.
Shout out to Dave Raymond. Yeah. He came to play as well.
Yeah, he sure did.
When Bregman's up to the plate like that, I think everybody can understand. Especially when the game's on the line. How about Luke Jackson?
Yeah.
Getting himself. I didn't like that Dave Raymond called him Puke Jackson there. I thought that was a little disrespectful.
Yeah.
Opening day was tough, but he's bounced back, right? Yeah. The whole bullpen has. Yeah. The pitching across the board this weekend, we were thinking, hey, dude, we're going to be putting 6, 7, 8 spots up and we'll be fine. But no, the pitching was like, we're good. We'll win a 3-2 game.
After the disappointment of opening day in the bullpen, to see them come out and just completely dominate, I think the bullpen pitched over 15 combined innings in the 3 remaining games and were just outstanding at every turn. Eventually we're going to be in for some offense.
Totally.
It's nice to know you don't need it to win a series against a good baseball team. So now they're on a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, and on to Cincinnati, who are 1-2 right now. So hopefully they can keep that momentum going on the first road trip of the year, and then they come back to play Tampa Bay. So yeah, it would be nice that they can keep this going. But like I say, they've gotten some pretty good timely hitting too as well. The games this weekend were kind of going back and forth. The Red Sox score, Rangers get ahead. Some good timely hitting for the Rangers, though. And like I said, it's nice to see Adolis get going the way he has. I was worried about him right out of the gate. But, with the injury, we were in spring training. We were worried about the oblique a little bit, stuff like that.
Started to turn it on late in spring training.
Sure did.
Now he's just on a roll.
Yep.
And that's great news. I thought the Jonah Heim stuff on Friday,
yeah.
Two homers in the lighter game. Lighter, obviously, playing really, really well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But Jonah Heim showing off the power that we had missed so much last year, and him and Higashioka, that split right there, keeping those guys fresh all season, I think that's huge.
Well, it was, one series, but that Boston team is good enough. I feel like the Rangers made a statement. There was great intensity in the series. I think they're out to win. They're on a mission. They're not backing down from the fight. They're right back at it tonight, a 5 o'clock pregame against this Reds team, who's a pretty good team trying to become great.
Yeah.
They have some defensive issues. They have some bullpen issues themselves. I know I said I was calling 1-800 bullpen last week on this Rangers team. I did. They told me they'd call me back though, Brian, and now I'm ignoring their calls. So we're just going to see how this goes. I'm hoping that however this season goes, you can get a good 6 weeks. Buy some time until, you know, maybe they get healthy at the very least. And who knows? Maybe CY just piece together, you know, a group that's going to be solid from beginning to end. And we'll talk to Chris about his first impressions coming up at 420, the Cy Young show. DeGrom was amazing, though.
Yep.
Actually went to his changeup quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah.
73 pitches. 5 innings, gave up no runs. Can he still be amazing being more of a finesse pitcher? You know, and will this keep him healthy? So far, so good. I wonder how many pitches they have, like, capped for the year. Like, what's the vision? We're going up to...
Ooh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
90 next?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because they had a surefire plan going into yesterday's game. 75 pitches. Yeah. Hopefully that was 5 innings. And he goes 5 innings, 73 pitches, ends up with 6 punch outs. And like you said, he's not even throwing it with the gas that we know he's capable of.
Okay. And then the bad news, you know, Josh Jung going on the injured list. This is the 4th time in 3 seasons.
Yeah. All of the Joshes right now, right? It's Smith, Spores, and Jung.
Yeah, the thing.
The Josh Smith play was...
Josh Smith. It's crazy how, I mean, he runs right into, like, there's like no protection there.
First, second inning of the game. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And then
this ain't the World Series yet.
He stayed in the game to finish the inning, and then Duran had to come in. But it's just so strange. This guy's chasing a foul ball, and he just runs right into basic concrete there. Gets hurt.
If you just keep watching the replay and you detach the Rangers from it, it's absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Like, any other player does this on any other team, and it is a surefire laugh out loud moment. Mm-hmm. But I feel for my guy.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and I think especially for Jung, that's who I most feel for right now, because I know how much he cares and how talented he is and how frustrating it has to be right now, because it's very frustrating for the fans as well. You know, I mean, so Evan Carter and Josh Jung, we're just going to like not have star players now, because that's what's happened here. I think we can get a couple of great years out of Evan Carter if he can figure out how to hit well enough. Just righties, you know, let's just get that taken care of. But Josh Jung, I mean, guys, this is a highly injury-prone player that you can't rely on.
Yeah, and it's tough because he gets hurt, the net gets messed up on a great defensive play.
On a great defensive play, yeah.
Like, he's still, the talent is so obvious, and not having him, and it's sort of nagging stuff. Like, again, it's like one of these weird little neck strain kind of thing. Like, where does that come from? It's a bummer not having him. And you can see, we saw it plenty last year, his absence was felt.
Yes.
They need this dude. Now, thank God, and it's unfortunate now Josh Smith obviously now banged up as well, but having a guy like Josh Smith, you can just put in, okay, Seager's out today, no problem, here we go. Mm-hmm. Boom, Young's out, here we go. But you're already eating into that now from a depth standpoint.
I wonder at what point we could see Wolcott. Man, that could be fun if the 19-year-old comes up. We saw the talent just oozing off of him in spring training. How long is he out, asked the 214? I don't know how long Josh Jung is going to be out.
10-day IL.
10-day IL.
Yeah, you know, for sure, yeah.
Sounds like just, you know, something that could be a strained neck that needs a little bit more rest. I think he's got to, you know, and I'm sure he's researched a lot of stuff already. I'm sure the team is, but we got to think outside the box. You know, you might have to go holistic. Do we need to incorporate yoga? I'm sure they're probably doing acupuncture, but we got to look at diet. Do we need to go vegan? Like, what is causing soft tissue to break down so much and bones break?
God help us if we have to go vegan. Well, let that be the last resort. Okay, Josh, I know how much you love that Hurtado barbecue, Josh Jung. Don't you punt on that yet. Get you in a hyperbaric chamber. We might have to go full Tyron Smith on this. Remember his final year? It was a 24/7 hyperbaric chamber. Figure it out.
Can they test for HGH? Do they test for HGH in baseball? Maybe we need to run that, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're you got to, at this point, I think career's on the line. You could be looking at $500 million mm-hmm. worth of career earnings mm-hmm. if you can stay healthy. Or I don't want you after arbitration.
Yeah. Yeah. If this was the NFL, I think the HGH play is much easier because you get popped forward. It's like, what, 2 games?
Yeah.
3 games?
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, they still actually care about it.
They will get you.
They get you go, and there's 100 games.
Yeah.
In football, we would say that maybe with all his soft tissue injuries, we would say he's too tightly wound. That he's, you know, like
his... He needs to be more limber.
Yeah, he doesn't have really the flexibility that that you might need. That he's his body is just overall is, you know, and he's got he's a good looking player physically. Don't get me wrong,
and he looks leaner this year. That exactly, was something I noticed that's what I'm on opening saying. Day. I was I'm like, saying damn, the jungle cat.
Sometimes your muscles, they say, is just too you're too tightly wound that you don't have that flexibility, and it leads to other injuries.
I guess he's just too high strung.
Too high strung.
Dallas Stars dominated Seattle Saturday night. They'll try to do it again tonight, 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Ranted in with a goal and two
They're
assists.
They're in the playoffs already. Got in the playoffs the other night.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Clinched a berth.
Mm-hmm.
Rantanen does have 11 points in 11 games since the trade, so I think you can shake off concerns that he doesn't play well unless he's around Colorado superstars, which is a ridiculous idea, patently. Yeah.
Stars thank God for his girlfriend, right? Is that what we've learned? Thank God his girlfriend brought him here. That kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Wags are perfect.
Throwing
a shutout in that department. Stars have won five in a row. They've clinched a playoff berth, as Brian said. They still 4 points between them and Winnipeg. The Kraken are playing young guys, though, so this might be another blowout opportunity here. They're basically tanking or developing their, you know, young players. Dallas Stars defense, by the way, where do you think it's ranked in the entire NHL, Brian?
Fourth.
Whew, that's a good guess. They're third right now. Okay, yeah. So I think Jim and everybody, they've done a great job building this roster to the point. Maybe it's not elite defense, and it has, you know, a couple of weaknesses that can be frustrating and are at times predictable, but it's a damn good team. Suns were hilariously horrible last night in a game against the Rockets. They were down 30 at half. Then Katie sprained his ankle in the third. They're done. The Mavs are going to be a play-in team, either the ninth or tenth spot. As they've won two in a row, four or five, they host the Nets tonight. They're 8.5-point favorites. Vegas believes.
Yeah.
AD.
They're starting to
back.
Get guys back, too.
Yeah.
They're starting to get others back as
Washington
well.
Washington played the other night.
Yeah. They got some guys that have been out for a while that are all looking at probable, like Lively and guys like that are, you know, just right around the corner here. So, man, this should be an interesting stretch. They get these guys back and they start playing. They start playing together and getting each other's games down a little bit. And who knows? They don't have a guard. They absolutely don't have a guard.
But I guess Brandon Williams, they can add to their team permanently on April 10th.
Yeah.
But he's on a 2-way contract and he can't play until then.
Until then, yeah.
So that sucks. But you got Washington back. You get Lively, Gafford back. If you're OKC, are you nervous about this matchup? That's who the Mavs would face if they win the play-in deal for the eighth spot.
I don't think so. If this was the version of the Mavericks that we had become accustomed to, that was handling OKC pretty nicely dating back to last year, even when OKC was playing incredible basketball as well. Then maybe that would strike a little bit more fear into them. But this is a new look Mavs team, and I think they're going to know, Oklahoma City's going to know, that the Mavs won't be able to keep up with them from a scoring standpoint. And I saw a crazy stat the other day about OKC that was pretty fascinating. Like they've trailed for any amount of time this season on
like 10 minutes
on less possessions. They've trailed on 24% of their possessions this year, but they've led by 15 or more points on 25% of all possessions.
Goodness.
So it's more likely when you check into a Thunder game that they're going to be up by 15 or more than they're going to be trailing at all.
I mean, they could win 70 games. They're within striking range.
Yeah.
If I was a player, I would want to do that. You know, and maybe that exertion of themselves leaves them tired. But, yeah, the Mavs would have to come together really, really dang quick and beat one of the best regular season teams in the history of the league to dream about winning that. I don't think it is possible. But, I mean, if you can figure out how to frustrate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I just don't think they have the secondary playmakers. You know, they have a really nice roster, but after Shai, nobody that's elite.
This is going to be, history is going to repeat itself, but this time it's going to work in favor of the Mavs.
What are you talking about?
2006, Mavericks.
Oh, Golden State.
Golden State, the 1-8 seed thing. History is going to be on Dallas' side this time.
Okay. That would be amazing.
I like your positivity here, Broadus.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephen Jones updated a lot of Cowboys stories this morning from the league meetings. We'll get to them coming up at 3:20. Something that sticks out right now, I think the biggest one is the idea of a trade being possible.
That would be a lot of fun. Is that
for a quarterback?
Is this, well, maybe.
We talked about the Joe Milton one.
Yeah,
and Eric and I and the Love of the Star went through a bunch of college quarterbacks this morning.
Is that the only thing on the table?
I think that's the one that I felt like that I've heard that they've been able to dip their toe in the pool. How about that?
All right.
I mean, I could say the league meeting allows you to go out and visit with others.
Right.
You can go have cocktails and talk to people about, hey, what are you interested in doing? You want to move a guy? Go play some golf. Talk about some guys that way as well. So, yeah, I kind of feel like that the only one I've heard so far is the Joe Milton one for sure.
All righty, final four set. Congrats to Houston.
Chalk.
Watched a lot of Cooper Flagg, as I know many of you have. He's just good. I'm solidified in my opinion. Let's be real. I really like the fact that he can defend. I like the fact that he can shoot. Very good NBA career coming up, Chief.
Wow, yeah. That's kind of an indictment at this point, based on expectations. Just very good. Just very good for Cooper Flagg. What about him versus Arizona the other night? Was that Thursday night?
That was pretty
good. Sweet 16?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
30 points, halftime buzzer beater, no-look alley-oops left and right, playing some defense.
A couple good ones.
Dribble, drive, fade away at the elbow. I don't know. I think Cooper Flagg's the real deal.
I wouldn't let him call you out like that.
I think Cooper Flagg's the real deal.
Well, I mean, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
I don't need to get defensive about it. I think my concern,
I think he's right, by the way.
Of course you do. You don't have your own opinion. You're just going along with the masses right now. Cooper Flagg's going to be amazing. Cooper Flagg's going to be a nice top 20 player. Yeah, probably make a handful.
You don't think we'll ever talk about Cooper Flagg being a top 5 player in the NBA?
No. No, it's...
You've seen a lot of...
He's got a long way to go to get there. I don't know what he's capable of developing into.
I'm about to do something unfair to you. Because you've seen a lot more basketball. I mean, I've seen a lot of basketball, but not as much as you. Does he remind you of anybody that you've ever seen play? I know that's a hard question. I always like the comparison guy questions.
Because pro comps.
Chandler Parsons? No, I'm playing. I don't know. Maybe a Brandon Ingram type player.
Sure.
Actually kind of more like Anthony Davis is how he attacks, you know, even though Anthony Davis is a power forward, Cooper Flagg's more like a small forward, but he can't attack from off the bounce. Mm. Like he gets down there and then he stops and pump fakes and does a turnaround. And I just think like the lack of creativity and explosiveness
that's gonna
to
hurt
finish
him.
Right there. Yeah, yeah. This is college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got swatted. He got swatted so bad in, I think it was the Elite Eight game.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, he got met at the rim.
Yeah.
It wasn't even quite at the rim. He got met, though. That's fair.
So, what, he just turned 18? Is that right? He just turned 18,
yeah,
right?
He just turned 18, like, right before the new year.
Maybe over the next 6 years, and at that point, he'll just be 24 years old. He makes me eat crow on this, but I'm standing on it.
Just real quick, did you have more questions about Wimby coming into the NBA or Cooper Flagg?
Cooper Flagg. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm hopeful Wimby's, you know, doesn't materialize.
Because everybody said, oh, Wimby's going to get pushed around and you know, there's a lot of things going on about him.
It's just his height and shooting ability. I knew he'd, you know, find his way to be at least a top 10 player.
Sure.
I don't know. And, you know, maybe the full upside of his potential that was projected is not there as far as being dominant player, best player in the league type of deal. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Jared Sandler is next right here on The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. Time to chat with Sands about your Rangers, your first place Texas Rangers. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, it's the Frankels, and it's Jared Sandler with you now on The Fan. And good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. I'm in Cincinnati. Rangers and Reds beginning a 3-game series. I'm excited to watch Kamar Rocker tonight.
That is exciting. What went right? What went wrong for him in spring? And what's his outlook, you think, here as he tries to tackle the big leagues for a full season?
Yeah, he got off to some really slow starts in spring, just like within an outing when it came to his command. You know, hitting guys or just not locating pitches where he needed to. You know, I thought he had some pretty illuminating things to say about how you know, he spent this offseason just working about getting his body right, but didn't do nearly as much in terms of the mechanics, thinking that, well, I'll go to Arizona and I'll, you know, I'll get everything straightened out then. But, you know, he basically said next year, that's not what I'm going to do. You know, if I could do it over, I'd maybe come to camp with a little more time spent on the mechanics side of things. And it wasn't like out of laziness. He just thought, hey, this offseason, it's all about the body. And so I think he's been fighting stuff. He's trying to get right on the mechanics. You know, I'm really curious to see what his distribution is tonight from a usage standpoint between his, you know, it seems like he changes, you know, every few days, what he calls his harder breaking ball, be it a slider, a curve, or a slurve. And then the slower one, which is a curve ball, you know, the power one, the harder one was the one we saw a lot more last year. What we saw more in spring though, was the slower version. And, you know, he's going to use both, and he should use both. They're both good pitches. But, you know, I'd like to see him have some success again with that harder breaking ball, because it seems like that was a really nasty pitch when he broke it out. But, you know, I think it not to oversimplify, but for him, it's been fastball command, which is not typically an issue, but for whatever reason was an issue for him this spring.
How impressive was Jack Leiter on Friday?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. The two things that stood out to me: one, his ability to have success with his fastball in the zone. Right, there's nothing wrong with it, but there are a lot of pitchers who, you know, they rely on you chasing. Their breaking ball is nasty, and you know, if you know they're having success, it's because you're swinging at pitches outside the zone. But then there are pitchers who are able to have success in the zone. They're able to get swings and misses in the zone, which is so much more powerful, because then you don't rely on guys swinging at pitches that are going to be called balls, right? They either swing and miss because you've got a dominant pitch, or they take it and it's a strike, right? You know, you kind of have them in jail there. And I thought he added his sinker. He was using that a lot more, and that allowed him, I think, to have success with both of those fastballs in the zone. And then the other thing that was impressive was when he did run into a little bit of adversity, he didn't just totally lose it. And I think Jonah Heim deserves some credit for that. You know, a lot was made of the pitching, or the mound visit Jonah made in the second inning after Jack gave up the infield single and the walk to Abreu, settling him down. And I think, you know, that's an astute observation by those who made it. You know, I think that the catcher does play a role, especially for a younger pitcher. But I think in general, the success of the fastball and his ability to navigate, you know, the few issues he had, I think was really impressive.
Jared, speaking of catchers, though, with Heim and Higgy, the first few, you know, first four games, well, you couldn't ask for a better start for both of those guys in sharing this opportunity.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, both do a good job behind the plate. Now the Rangers in general did not do a great job controlling the running game.
No, that's hard. Yeah.
You know, and that's probably more on the pitchers, to be honest with you. I mean, Jonah's got a better arm than Higgy. He's probably going to be better at controlling the running game on his end than Higgy will. But the pitchers have to cooperate too. With all that said, you know, what they bring defensively behind the plate goes, you know, beyond just that. And I think both those guys did a good job, you know, from a strike stealing standpoint. Obviously the way they handle the pitchers is top notch. But then, you know, the offensive side of things, Jonah, of course, had his two home run game on Friday, and Higgy, you know, on Thursday, the RBI double and you know, hit the ball hard again yesterday. So yeah, it's a nice start. And I think, And Brian, we've talked about this before. You know this. You can have all the measurables you want. You can have all the objective data you want. What you can't measure is what it's like for a guy who's been the starting catcher for a team for a few years to not get the nod on opening day.
Right.
And you know, like with Leody, we've talked about how maybe this offseason lit a fire under his tush, you know, coming off the year he had, and people talking about how, you know, he should be displaced as the center fielder. And so, not everyone responds favorably to that. Some guys don't really have much of a response at all. I'm curious to see. The one thing objectively I'll tell you about Jonah, which I want to keep tracking for the next few weeks, he's picked up about 2 miles an hour of bat speed. And, you know, that might seem like a super granular thing and get some eye rolls when I bring that up. And that's cool. I get it. But at the end of the day, that correlates with your ability to hit the ball hard and to hit the ball far. And, you know, the data, the people way smarter than I am, have said that, you know, a mile an hour of bat speed, you know, can equate to 7 to 10 feet. And if you're adding 2 miles an hour, 20 feet of distance is the difference between a fly out and a double, or, you know, a ball hit to the wall versus a ball that goes over the wall, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it all makes a difference. And If he has picked up some bat speed because of improved mechanics, then, you know, I think that will pay off dividends for sure.
Yeah, they said that like he's barreled up like 50% of his opportunities. So maybe is that have to do something with the bat speed as well?
Well, I think so. Getting the ball in the barrel, that's more just timing and maybe mechanics that allow him to get to where he wants to be. But what the bat speed does is allow that ball on the barrel to then go farther, right? Mm-hmm. And to take more advantage of it. And so, you know, it's all interconnected. But yeah, you know, and the bat speed is interconnected to the mechanics. I was talking to Donnie Ecker, and he was just talking about how, you know, Jonah is in a more athletic position. He's not overstriding, and that allows him to use more of his body and more of his strength, which allows him, as you can imagine, to generate more torque, and torque will generate more bat speed. So, you know, I don't know that it's so much that he got stronger as much as the mechanics, which are allowing him to, you know, get the bat, the barrel of the bat on the ball, and also allowing him to move that bat through the zone quicker. It's all kind of interconnected, and it's, you know, it's been big for Jonas so far to get off to a good start coming off the year he had, and hopefully it obviously carries on.
Do we have any torpedo bats down there, and wouldn't you say that they could use some after scoring just 4 runs per game?
Yeah. Gavin, to me, it makes no sense. I shouldn't say it makes no sense, because there's obviously high-level science into this that I'm not capable of coming anywhere close to understanding. However, when you've got your weekend warrior golfer going for club fittings to optimize his ability to strike the ball based on his height and strength and size and the biomechanics, why is baseball at the professional level not made these adaptations? Why, like, to me, that is the most simple comparison, is that you get club fittings in golf. Why don't you get club fittings or, you know, in this case, bat fittings in baseball? Why does the hitter always have to fit to the bat? Why can't you get the bat to fit to the hitter when it comes to where they typically strike the ball? And obviously you're not going to put the barrel of the bat on the handle, but, you know, for some guys, maybe it makes sense that it's a little bit closer to the you know, end of the bat. For some guys, maybe it makes sense that it's a little bit closer to the label of the bat, you know, all these things. So I don't expect torpedo bats to go away, or however, you know, I've heard people call them bowling pin bats, whatever. I'm curious, when we go to the clubhouse here in a few minutes, I'm going to ask guys, you know, if any of them are using them or have experimented with these types of bats, because to me, it would make a lot of sense. With all the data and all the technology we have, we are able to identify where guys are making contact with the ball when it comes to the positioning of the bat. And if a guy just over and over might have great mechanics, but he consistently makes contact just half an inch below what is considered to be the sweet spot, why not adjust the sweet spot, right? That seems to me like the easiest thing to do. And I'm glad that, you know, Aaron Lenhart, who's now with the Marlins but was with the Yankees, you know, put this to the test and had guys buy in. I think this will help hitters. And the other thing that was said is, and I think this makes all the sense in the world, you know, this is a unique sport where, you know, the pitcher controls the action, right? If a guy is throwing a fastball, you've got about 0.3 of a millisecond before that ball gets to the plate. And the pitcher can dictate the location, the spin, all that stuff. They've got all these, you know, all these labs now that are allowing them to enhance their ability to dominate. Pitching is as good as it's ever been. Well, why can't hitters now maybe make some adjustments to their sole tool to try and counter that? And I think that's what's happening. I think it's good for the sport.
Well, thank you, sir. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Jared Sandler's Rangers pregame's coming up at 5 o'clock right here as they visit the Reds. Let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Ross Lubinsky has your G-Bag of the Day in for Lucius once again. Here's Ross.
That's right. G-Bag of the Day. Y'all know it. We do it every day at 2:30 here on the G-Bag Nation. Best clips of the weekend. Let's cue the music. G-Bag of the Day. As I mentioned, we do it every day here on the G-Bag Nation at 2:30. Best clips of the weekend, of the day. Doesn't matter. If it's airable, we will use it. So we want to kind of get started, as we always do, with the winner from, I guess this would be on Friday. And I didn't quite realize that we were doing diss tracks now here at the Fan.
Peyton hitting on the cheap, yo. Free those spending cash figures, we need zero. Hands down, I'll take Tommy Sledger, even Rego. Failing all the way through Cross, hey Joey, where did he go? What's up with this old phony ass loser and his drama? The industry can hate me, fuck him, go see my mama. How many flaws you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna slash all his money, I'm gay plocking. Play the clip and hide the eye roll of Sean watching. Sometimes you gotta stop down and show better. Certified board op man, take producer out your damn LinkedIn. Walk him out, bro, fine, you know that he been phoning in. Throw him then, just like fish, Richie Grigo and them. Safe eight, I hear you kinda dumb. Don't even know how to make a woman to any chick that talks to him and they in love. Just know that you'll only fit in the tub. Tim tells me Choppy just can't handle when Sean's not around. And that's why Chi-Chi hanging with us at the firehouse. And
in Choppy the interest of time, that's good. Thank you, Ross. A very talented Bobby Belt diss track. Oh, yeah, the best part was just coming up. My bad.
No, it's all right. Them boys is sus, though. We know that.
Yeah, great stuff, Bob. One-time champ, probably heading for five. Either way, immortalized in G-Bag Nation history already.
It was great.
Man, that is so good. The second I saw Bobby drop it, I knew. I saw it on Twitter. I knew we were in for radio gold, and boy, howdy, it sure is. Yeah. But did y'all see this over the weekend? It might have even been on Friday. Warren Sapp at his church. Well, it sounds like his church is going through some financial difficulties, so he really wanted to instill in the people to get those funds cleared.
And they understand the cost that is involved. There's 1,000 of you. I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors. Close the doors. Close the doors. It's 1,000 that's watching online. This is a small seed. If I get 1,000 online to give this, if I get 1,000 in the sanctuary to give this, that's $40,000 tonight. Now, everyone up here, we've all sowed and seeded, but I need everyone standing up here with us, with me, to plant a seed of $100. Because again, it costs to sit up here. And this is what I need you to do. If you're giving electronically, or even if you're giving tangibly, I'm gonna have y'all come to the altar and give it, because I need to see 1,000 people moving. Bring them baskets. I want the baskets up here. I want to see the folk. Y'all start moving. Y'all can bring it right now. Come. 1,000 people need to give $20. 1,000 people need to give $20. 1,000 people online need to give $20. This is easy, saints.
Wow.
So I believe that the text has confirmed it's a Marvin Sapp at the altar.
Yeah.
And it's okay, because I was picturing it as Warren Sapp the entire time. It made it even funnier.
Yeah, that's what I was, too. I was like, Warren Sapp, man, he is really trying to get the folks to help and support his church.
I was like, is Warren Sapp recording this? That's what I thought.
Okay, so the last one I got, and this one's kind of a long one, too, so just cut me off whenever you feel like we're going too long, because we are kind of up against it here, but just want to send a helpful PSA out there to all of the listeners, the Tolos, whomever you may be. You know, if you're in a parking lot and you see, let's say, an older lady, just be careful, because it could turn into the cops showing up.
All right, so she does want to pursue charges.
I'm sorry?
She does want to pursue charges.
She does?
Yes. Okay. Do you have any reasons for your actions of opening her car door and reaching in?
I
don't say you didn't do it again, because that was a lie the first time, okay? So I'm going to give you a chance to tell me the truth.
I opened the car door, but I never ever...
It shows you reaching in. The video shows you reaching in.
She pulled the car door.
Yeah, which rightfully so, because you were reaching in.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, I watched a video.
I never reached in.
She pulled. You reached in, and she pulled the door shut.
Never. I would never grab her, ever.
Okay, and you would never open a car door either, right? Which you lied to me about to start with.
Okay,
all right. Right?
Okay.
This isn't my first day. Okay, and when I watch a video, it's that simple.
I didn't assault her. I mean, you make it sound like I, you know, I'm not like that at all. I didn't, you know, you're making it sound assault, like.
Make it sound like what?
You make it sound
Wait, no, back up. Tell me I'm wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
You're telling me I'm wrong. You're sounding like blocking a car in, opening the car door, and going after the person is somehow acceptable. Where are you from that that's acceptable?
I didn't go in.
Where are you from that that's acceptable?
Well, it's not acceptable.
There you go. Answer your own question.
Didn't the cop sound like the Cardinart guy?
Absolutely.
It's like Cardinart guy sure became did. A cop.
Yep.
That was classic. Karen held accountable for reaching into ladies' car door. Is it Pastor Marvin Sapp asking for 1,000 people to give $20?
What's money?
That'd be a big afternoon. That'd be cleaning up.
Locking him in the sanctuary.
Yeah, close the doors.
His money.
Yeah, we're going Game of Thrones in here. Bobby Belt diss track on Peyton Russell is the favorite, but he, up against a couple of pretty good challengers here. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Belt.
Shoot. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Robert.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Belt too, but I will say it is very enjoyable when you have videos or audio or whatever it is, when you have a Karen or someone who's acting out of line being put in their place. But yeah, Bobby Belt.
Yeah, she gets a vote though for that. Absolutely.
By a score of 3-1, still your champ. It's Bobby Belt. Chief, what do we have coming up next?
Best of the weekend, move over snuff, move over sunflower seeds. There's a new MLB chewable in town. Next in the nation.
Out, back door to Clayton, makes the catch inside, has the dribble out of trouble in the paint, backs up, turns, fires a three from the top, it's good! He did it again! Clayton's got 28, Florida leads by one, what a shot by Walter Clayton!
One of the great comebacks in NCAA tournament history, unfortunately, for the Red Raiders. It was a great weekend of sport, though, and to take us through everything, here's the Chief.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, good news on Corey Seager and Josh Smith, both in today's lineup as the Rangers take on the Cincinnati Reds for their first road trip of the season. Seager back at shortstop, and Josh Smith will be playing third in place
of Josh
Young.
Well, I love that. I do love that. I think at some point I want to see Sebastian Wolcott, and with Smith and Seager down, I thought maybe that was possible early in the year. I'd love to see him play in Double A for a couple of months and hit about 340, you know, with about 20 bombs, and then come up. But I wouldn't be waiting too much longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think they obviously want to be as patient with him as possible, but I mean, at some point, it might call for it, and that would be a lot of fun.
I was looking up their prospects. They just don't have a lot of middle infielder or third baseman type of dudes.
Yeah, they might be left with no option. If you get your depth just taken away from you there in the infield, what else are you going to do? Hmm. Let's go. Let's bring the youngster up who looks incredible.
Speaking of bringing the youngster up, we're talking about best of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My 3.5-year-old made her soccer debut Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at Eastfield College there in Mesquite.
No way.
3.5 years old for the Sunnyvale Raiders. Very proud. Up till that point, her only soccer experience was almost refusing to play in the backyard and then crying at one soccer practice.
Mm.
So she goes into the game after watching attentively for 5 minutes and didn't do anything for 3 minutes. Mm. Then there was a free kick, and the coach put the ball down and told her to kick it. And from that moment, she played hair on fire, bro, for the next 30 minutes. I might got a dog on my hands.
Oh, congratulations.
It was a tremendous relief.
That is awesome, dude.
Yeah. I was ready mentally for her to be that kid that just doesn't want to go.
Right.
Yeah. Right? That's how most kids are.
Yeah.
But she was good to go, dude.
She's needed to get a little taste of what that competition feels like.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, I can be the star of this show. Yep. Let's go ahead and take control of this thing.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's clearly in her DNA. So it was only a matter of time.
It is the funniest thing in the world, I think. That is my favorite age to watch soccer, 3 years old.
3 year old soccer. Gosh, I bet that is a blast, dude. I imagine my 3 year old would be, I mean, that would be a hilarious, hilarious adventure.
Half of them are crying.
Yeah.
You know, they're running off the field randomly to get their parents.
That's so wonderful, dude.
It is hilarious.
Well, the college basketball was certainly, I mean, a couple of games were good. This Florida-Texas Tech game was outstanding, and Walter Clayton Jr. for Florida is unbelievable. This dude just shows up when it matters most, big-time games and big-time moments. He had a couple of huge threes late in that game to get them back to even, and then eventually 84-79 Florida beats Texas Tech, and Florida's coach went to the, I mean, they were down six with like just under 3 minutes to go, and he just started went to the foul. Let's just go foul these guys, because the one-on-one situation, that's high pressure at the free throw line. And Darian Williams for Texas Tech was missing. They got Toppin on the line. He's a terrible free throw shooter. Next thing you know, Walter Clayton Jr. cashing threes. Florida gets the dub. Duke dominates Alabama. They're the favorite. They are the best team. And then you have Houston and Tennessee. Houston crushes Tennessee. Tennessee put up 15 points, I think it was, in the first half, which is the worst since 1979 in an Elite Eight game. Just a terrible performance for the Fighting RJ Choppies. Auburn beats Michigan State. Auburn and Johnny Broome is otherworldly. That dude,
terrific.
He was extremely efficient from the field, 25 points. He got hurt for a few minutes late in the game, came back out, cash a three, and go home. And now you're just one game away from the big one. So, I mean, Houston and Duke on Saturday is going to be special. Houston's outstanding. Best defense versus the best offense. That's going to be an awesome game.
It's going to be really interesting because I think, I mean, Duke is so much more than Cooper Flagg. You know, that, that Knipple guy.
Yeah, Knipple's a beast.
Knipple. I got to learn how to pronounce his name right. Right. Knipple.
And they're 7'3", Knipple. Dude. It's Knipple.
I know.
Yeah, it's Knipple.
I was messing it up. Remember I asked you guys that question?
Yeah, you weren't sure.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure, like, but yeah, you got it right. But yeah, he's a hell of a player.
One of the best Knipples I've ever seen. We have, remember last week when I said that you never go overseas to watch European sports for the concession items, and brought us took a little bit of offense to that.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, standing on it too.
Over the weekend, I saw at MTK Budapest, if you want to go watch their soccer team, for 86 cents, you can get a slice of white bread lathered with lard, sprinkled with red onion and paprika. That is your item.
Wow.
That is a concession. Wow. That's a
Look at this, Brian.
Overseas.
Holy
cow. Go watch
some
soccer and eat the worst thing ever created.
How much is that?
86 cents.
It is only 86 cents. So you get what you pay for.
Well, if you get like, you just buy like a massive cup of beer to go along with it, I think that would be a pretty good item.
I'd rather just have a slice of white bread. You can hold the lard, the red onions, and the paprika. I mean, that's
paprika to give it a little color.
That's an embarrassment to anyone who has ever eaten.
By lard, what's that mean? Do they mean butter?
Fat, butter, yeah.
Yeah, that's like pork. I think it's like pork fat.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So like Crisco, basically, is what you're putting on my piece of bread.
Yes, yes. Now, I would. I like to I
Crisco
like to cook
has no
fats.
Flavor, though.
So, can you at least put a cheese on it and toast it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why can't you slap a hot dog in there? I mean.
Yeah. Onions,
give
really?
Give me a break. It's truly, it's disrespectful.
What is this? Are we rationing because the Germans are about to invade?
I think.
What's
I think,
going on?
I think even worse
Sorry,
than that.
Is that offensive?
No, that actually looks appetizing
it might
to
be
a select
problems.
Group of people.
Is this tariff problems?
Yes, yeah, tariff problems.
And then I would like to take you to St. Louis where Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras is at the plate and he is seen taking the tape off of his bat and then putting it into his own mouth and chewing on it as if it was some big league chew while at the plate getting ready to strike out.
That is eccentric.
He did pop it in there like chewing gum.
Can you do you see that?
Yeah.
Carter's throwing it up. I mean, this guy is chewing on his own
hand sweat.
Tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand sweat.
Is this
sweat.
Something that he does or did he forget his gum in the dugout?
I honestly do not know. I will have to do some more research on it, whether or not this is part of his deal. I've never seen this before.
I never have either.
Never seen someone at the plate before the, I mean, there's a pitch clock and he's ripping tape off his bat and shoving it into his own mouth.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Poppy.
Wilson Contreras with the weirdest superstition in baseball to date.
You know, I'm not opposed to taking different food substances and basically making a plug out of them, throwing a dip in, you know, whether that's New York strip or a fruit roll-up.
Yeah, fruit roll-up is ideal.
You know, some Doritos.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things you can make. Beef jerky.
Woo! Beef jerky.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, beef jerky dip. But never the tape off of a bat.
I did used to love the beef jerky dip was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Indeed.
Good flavor.
You know what we're talking about, Brian.
Oh, absolutely no. Hey, real quick. Well, we're up against it. I was going to say something real quick about
just
that.
Say it.
About that Tech Florida game. Did I tell you about we're at McMahon's party and that guy?
You were at Tim McMahon's party?
Yeah, well, he had a.
I should have been your plus one to that.
The
dude.
Book launch, right?
Yeah.
And
the
so,
Wonder Boy book.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, like the game was on at the crucial part of that Florida game.
Yeah.
This guy directly stood right in front of the TV. I mean, just right. I mean, we're all watching the game and he just
Who
walked.
Was it?
It's one of Tim's friends.
Montemps?
No. It was a guy. This guy was a Texas Tech fan.
Huh.
And
Malika?
And Windhorst looked at me and goes, so Broadus, in scouting, that would be called no awareness, right?
That's
said,
awesome.
I said, yeah, that would be non-awareness. But the guy, literally, you're watching the game, and this guy walks 2 feet in front of the TV and stands there.
You watch the Elite Eight with McMahon and Bontemps and
Windhorst. Yeah,
you were with the full hoop collective.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody
well,
else?
Yeah, there was Archer and Calvin Watkins. Yeah, it was quite a crew.
Cool.
Calvin had a stogie. Yeah.
By the way, that book, I'm three chapters in. The Wonder Boy is a very good book. Tim did a great job on that so far.
What about the three-point shooter, the other Tim? What's his name? Legler. Was Legler there?
No, he wasn't there.
Richard Jefferson?
No.
All right.
Doris?
No Doris. I think they were all working.
What about Mike Breen?
Mike Breen was not there, no.
Well,
it was a bang-free environment then?
It was a bang-free environment, but good food and an open bar, so it was a good party.
I've heard the book's getting great reviews.
It is.
They're loving
I'll pass my copy along to you when I'm getting done.
Right on, buddy.
Yep.
All right, C-Notes coming up in about 25 minutes, Cowboys news of the evening. Stephen Jones was talking at the league meetings, and just it was quite a gift of content gold, okay? And we'll attack all those different angles coming up with you at 3:20. But, Chief, what are we doing next?
NFL news of the day. We have some great quotes from the owners' meetings, and we also have some great rumors as well. That's next right here in the nation.